today I want to speak specifically on this point, and it's this: telling our story produces faith in those who hear it and in ourselves. So telling your story can cause faith to rise up in those who hear it, but it also is good for you and I. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us, and we need to remember it, and we need to speak it again. We need to tell it out loud. I want you to look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And we touched on this a little bit last week, but let's look at it now. It says, during the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with this wonderful gift. You will be pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme, and he will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I'm still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged Aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. Now I want to look at this story a little deeper, because we've read this many times. This is the Christmas story. But I think sometimes we view this differently than real life. And this is a real life story with real life people who really aren't much different than you and I. Sometimes we assume the people in the Bible were completely different. They were ordinary people like us, minus the technology. Otherwise, ordinary people like you and I. And Mary was no different. Mary was a young teenager. A young teenage girl in a society and a culture where women were kind of looked down on. And the angel Gabriel shows up to give her a message. What you need to understand is the angel Gabriel was and is one of the most powerful angels in the universe. The angel Gabriel is not just an angel here. The angel Gabriel is one of the top angels who gave messages to people that had an effect for all generations. And Mary, I don't know, maybe some people see her as, you know, wasn't she just a young, polite, calm little girl who sat with her arms folded, her legs crossed, and spoke in King James English, "Lord, do whatever you will." That's not Mary. For starters, she didn't speak English. But that is not Mary. How do you know that from reading this? I know that from reading this. Because I remember in the Old Testament when the angel Gabriel showed up to give Daniel a message. Anybody remember what happened there? It said Daniel was filled with fear and fell on his face before him. The angel's trying to give him a message and he has to go wake him up. In other words, in nowadays terms, because of fear, he passed out. What? Yes. He saw this powerful angel, with fear, he passed out. Mary didn't pass out. It said she was a bit confused and a little bit fearful. But now when the angel's telling her this, in the middle of what he's saying, "You're going to have a son, and this is what he's going to do. It's going to be amazing." Mary stops the angel and goes, Gabriel, I know how babies are made. This is impossible. Whoa. This was a strong-minded young lady. You've got young people you think are impossible. This was a strong young lady who's willing to say to an angel, this is not possible. You read your Old Testament, when angels showed up, they were afraid they were going to die. Mary is chosen by God because of who she is, a strong young lady. And I believe that God saw Mary and said, okay, here's a young lady who serves me, who loves me, who knows my word, and they're strong enough to handle what I'm about to give her. Think about it for a minute. Do you honestly think people were going to believe her story when she started showing? Yeah, an angel. Yeah, sure, he did. I can guarantee she took all kinds of flack. But she's strong enough to handle it. God chose her. And she says it's impossible. And Gabriel answers her, and he tells her, well, it's going to be possible because the Holy Spirit in a cloud, you're going to be filled with his power, and I'm going to supernaturally put that baby in you. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on, and he says, oh, and by the way, and it wasn't really a by the way, also, your Aunt Elizabeth, the one who is called barren, the terminology there that was actually, when the relatives got together and talked about it, Elizabeth, the barren one. It had almost become her name. Everybody in the family, the cousins and everybody, they knew Elizabeth. She was the one who couldn't have kids. You need to understand, in that time and in that culture, that was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. A woman not being able to have kids. It was never the father's fault. And here she was, probably grieving at times, probably bitter, probably frustrated, maybe even angry at God, and she was known as the barren one. Just think of that, how that must have hurt. Oh, her. Mm-hmm. But God now tells Mary she is 6 months pregnant. If you read earlier in the story, did you know that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months? I don't think she wanted to hear anybody's comments. Maybe she was even a little unsure herself. Is this going to stick? For 5 months, she hid herself. And here's a little inside thing. Did you know that the entire time she was pregnant, her husband couldn't speak? You know why? Because the angel, the same angel, came to him and gave him a message. Elizabeth's going to be pregnant. You know what he said? Oh, that can't be. She's the barren one. The angel said something again, and you know what he did a second time? Oh, I don't think it's possible. So then the angel said, okay, the only way this is going to work is if we shut him up. I doubt his wife would have believed for it if he'd have kept talking. Oh, the barren one. Oh. Let me tell you something right here, right now. God wants to do miracles. God's ready to do miracles, but you need to believe for it, or you won't see it. And here's an angel with a message that is going to change the world. He just needs one person who will believe that the impossible is possible. If Mary had not believed for it, she wouldn't have carried. She would not have had that baby. Because God doesn't force miracles on anybody. The ignition, if you want to say, for a miracle to happen is somebody believing it can for them. This is also key. If I asked everyone in this room right now, do you believe God can do miracles? Every hand goes up. Do you believe God can do the impossible? Probably every hand would still go up. Do you believe he wants to do it for you right now? And most hands wouldn't go up. For some reason, we get this impression or this idea that, well, God only does miracles for perfect people. That is not in Scripture. God does miracles for people who will believe him. Think about that. God is looking for people who are not afraid to believe for the impossible. We're not afraid what it might look like on them. Think about this miracle, how it was going to look for Mary. If she was selfish and concerned about herself, she would have never accepted that. But she believed for an impossible. She could have cared less what people thought. So he tells her the testimony or the story of somebody she knows. And I'm going to say this again. You want someone to truly believe that God is real? They need to hear or even see what he's done for somebody else, the impossible. Because if he can do it for Elizabeth, he can do it for me. If he can do it for Gordon, he can do it for you. If he can do it for Lorraine, he can do it for you. And after hearing this, and after the angel says, nothing is impossible with God, Mary responds and says, this is amazing. I'll be a mother of the Lord, a servant. I accept whatever he said. May everything you've said come to pass. She's now believing. And the angel is able to go. He's found a young lady who will believe. When I hear those words, when you read this story and he's saying, don't be afraid, just believe, it reminds me of another story in Scripture that I'm going to go to. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Just then a man saw that it was Jesus, so he pushed through the crowd and he threw himself down at his feet. His name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death and she's only 12 years old. Come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. Jesus went with him, and the huge crowd followed, pressing in from all sides. And now another story comes in the middle of this story. Now, in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors. Yet in spite of spending all she had on treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. And when she had heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd. Okay, wait, what? What did we just say? When she had heard. When she had heard, she began to have faith for herself. Well, how did she hear? There was no TV. How did she hear? Somebody was willing to give their testimony. Yeah, I was down there. I was in the street, and Jesus put mud on this blind guy's eyes, and they opened. Or maybe the blind guy himself showed up. And she knew the blind guy because she'd seen him begging. Because people in those days that had a terrible sickness and couldn't work, they had to beg on the street. She might have been like, he's gone. Where did he go? Somebody told their story. Enough people had told their story that she now believed, this could be for me. And she began to tell herself over and over, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I can only touch his garment, I'll be healed. If I can only touch his garment, I'll be healed. The scripture, the wording it uses is that she said it over and over. She needed to hear it. She needed to believe it. Did you know something? You need to hear your own voice speaking the truth. Because the person you hear the most is you. So don't you dare run yourself down. Don't you dare say, nothing good's going to happen for me. Don't be saying, oh, I'm this, I'm... Speak what he says. And when you start to get a little grain of hope, a little bit of belief that it's possible, start speaking it over and over and over. Because telling that story will increase your faith. And as soon, verse 29, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surges around him had passed through him. for someone to be healed. And he turned and spoke to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Here is Jesus in a crowd of people pressing on him from every side. But only one person who had touched him received a miracle. Because only one person was believing for that miracle. When Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" His disciples answered and said, "What do you mean you touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept the crowd looking for the one that had touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced the miracle realized what happened, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet and said, "It's me." Do you understand? This woman did what she was not meant to do. She had an issue of blood. She was considered unclean. She was not supposed to go in the crowd. She could have been stoned to death. But she believed so strong in her heart, she could care less what people were going to do to her. She had said it over and over, "If I touch his garment, I'll be healed." And she received healing, not the other people who bumped into her. I want you to see this for a minute. You can come sit in a church or go to a meeting where people are being healed, where miracles are happening, and if you don't believe them that they're for you, you'll receive nothing. You'll only watch. You can bump right up against him. But if you're not believing that it's for you, you'll receive nothing. Oh, there's a couple people right now going, "Boy, oh boy, I don't know, Pastor Danny. Are you sure?" I'm sure. So Jesus tells her, "It's according to your faith. You're healed because of your faith. You believed, you spoke, you acted." And in verse 35, before he had finished speaking, people arrived from Jairus' house and pushed through the crowd to give Jairus the news. "There's no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died." But Jesus refused to listen to what they were told. And he said to the Jewish official, "Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing." There it is again. Don't yield to fear. Don't let fear overtake you. All you need to do is believe. In other words, Jesus knew a great miracle was about to happen, but that miracle could not happen if this man didn't believe for it. I need you to get that. He could have just said, "Let's just go. I can do anything." That's not what he said. He said, "Don't be afraid. You just need to believe." There's another story in Scripture where a man comes to Jesus and he wants his possessed boy to be healed. He's often thrown in the fire and the water, and he said, "I want him to be healed." And what's Jesus' answer? Do you believe it? Do you believe he can be? Because if you believe it, there's nothing impossible. Anything is possible to the one who believes. Wow. Jesus is ready to do miracles. He's looking for people that aren't afraid to believe for the impossible. He's looking for people that aren't afraid to look a little stupid and believe for the impossible. I'm just going to put that in there because in our culture, especially in Canada, you don't do anything to look stupid. I want people to respect me, and I am not going to do something stupid. Well, believing for the impossible to some people is stupid. To a child of God, it is what you need. So he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So they left for their home, and when they got to the home, it said that there was a huge uproar. The people were weeping and grieving already. Some were paid to mourn, others were probably grieving for real because the girl had passed away. And Jesus didn't let anybody else come with him. He took only Peter and the two brothers, Jacob and John. And then when they arrived in the home, he sent everybody else out of the room. And he looked at the girl and he said, "Arise from your sleep of death." And instantly the 12-year-old girl sat up, stood to her feet, and started walking around the room. Instantly. Because Jairus was willing to believe for the impossible. At any moment, Jairus could have said, forget it, it's over. But he believed, and he kept him coming. Come on, come on, come on. When Jesus said, I need everybody out of this room, Jairus is the man of the house. Guess what? He obviously agreed with Jesus, everybody get out of the room. Are you able to believe for the impossible? Because if you're able to believe for the impossible, the eyes of the Lord are on you right now to do a miracle. I hear it again. Are you able to not be afraid to look a little stupid? I don't know. I never said this in any of the other services. Somebody here must need to hear this more than once. If you are too proud to look a little bit foolish, you're probably not going to see God do the impossible. I don't know why that is. But I do know that pride stops God from doing what he wants to do. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Believing for the impossible. Think of Peter. Lord, if that's you, call me to come walk on the water. And he gets out of the boat to walk on the water. He wasn't afraid to look a little stupid. Can you believe for the impossible? So we can hear about what God has done to build our faith, and I'm going to wrap up fairly quickly. We're going to take a little bit of time today to open the front for people to come and to believe for the impossible. Maybe you're in a situation where you need God to show up. You need a breakthrough. Maybe in finances, maybe in your job, maybe in a healing matter. We serve a God that can do anything. You know, for some, maybe just hearing about somebody else's story isn't enough. Maybe you need to see it. Maybe you need to see it with your own eyes for yourself. You know what? That's not a bad thing. Maybe you're like one of Jesus' disciples, the 12 that he handpicked, Thomas. He was a realist and he wasn't believing nothing unless he could see it. Did you know that's okay? God says it's okay. He wants you to believe whatever it takes. Did you know that Mary, the story we started with, Mary needed to see it? She did. Yes, she did. I stopped in the middle of a story. In verse 38, we hear Mary talking about, I accept it, whatever God wants to do. Verse 39 says this, afterward, Mary arose and hurried off to the hill country of Judea, to the village where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. In other words, she heard it from the angel and she said, all right, I need to see this with my own eyes. And you can read the entire story and you can see that the timeline fits. Elizabeth's in her 6 months. It says Mary stayed there for 3 months. And then the verse after it says, now it was time for Elizabeth to bear a child. So she went pretty quickly after she got the message, I'm going to see this with my own eyes. It's okay to need to see it sometimes to believe. And when Mary got there, she basically came to the door and said, Elizabeth, hello. And when she did, guess what happens? At the moment Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby within Elizabeth's womb jumped and quicked. And suddenly Elizabeth was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And with a loud voice, she prophesied with power. Mary, you are a woman given the highest favor and privilege above all others. For your child is destined to bring God great delight. How did I deserve such a remarkable honor to have the mother of my Lord come and visit me? The moment you came in the door and greeted me, the baby danced inside me with ecstatic joy. Great favor is upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. Whew. I wonder how Mary felt right at that moment. Do you think maybe Mary needed some confirmation that this was really God? Do you think maybe after that encounter with the angels, she's thinking, maybe that was a dream? Not only did she get to see with her own eyes the miracle of her aunt Elizabeth, who used to be called the barren one, she got a prophecy. She hadn't even had time to talk to Elizabeth yet to tell her what had happened to her. It's like brand new. There's no way to see it. But Elizabeth's telling her straight out what she needed to hear, confirmation. And so she prophesies. The baby is filled in the womb. Hey, here's a little side bit. This is a Pentecostal church. When Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she says her baby was filled in the womb, how did she know? Because the baby says kicked and danced in the womb. It said she was powerfully filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. I'm just giving you this just for a little side note. I am pretty sure that Elizabeth did a little dancing herself. Again, that idea that we have of them sitting there calmly speaking King James English is not true. The Holy Spirit filling somebody is real. Gordon, I'm going to ask you to come and get ready. So Mary needed to see it. But then she said, God, I believe you for the impossible. She heard the story of somebody she knew. You couldn't fool her. It wasn't a magic trick. She knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was real. The angel Gabriel knew that Mary had to believe. And he had all the power of heaven at his disposal to help her believe. You read in the Old Testament how angels would do miraculous things and to help people believe. Remember the angel who put his staff down and the food just disappeared in fire and then the angel disappeared. This angel could have done anything to help Mary believe. The most powerful angel, I believe, in God's kingdom. And what did he choose to do? Told her a testimony of somebody she knew. A testimony of somebody she knew. Because you can't fake that. That can't be a magic trick. That can't be made up. I know them. I know who they are. Somebody needs to hear your story.